Okay, we're going to be in that black book tonight. It's in the Old Testament. We're looking at 1 Kings chapter 18. It's on page 266 if you have one of those Bibles there in the seats. And we're talking about tonight Elijah. And this is one of my most all-time favorite stories in the Bible. And it's some of my favorite scriptures. And tonight we're talking about an abundance of rain. I've never spoke on this particular thing. I've never pulled it out of the scriptures. It seems like the scriptures that lead up to this always take center stage. But tonight I'm talking about the abundance of rain. I'm going to I would kind of give you a highlight of what took place here. Of course, this is the story about Elijah and Ahab, if you remember. And they had Israel had basically started following Baal, a false god. And Elijah basically challenged the prophets of Baal. There was 450 of them, and there was an additional 400 prophets of the grove, according to the scriptures, and that made a total of 850. And he calls all those, and he says, if Baal be your god, then serve him. But if God be God, then serve him.
Amen.
You see, there ain't no fence straddlers here. You see, it's one way or it's the other. And that's what Elijah was pointing out. You know, we're going to pick up in verse 41. And what's taking place now, Elijah had already challenged him. And if you remember, well, I tell you what, it's just so good, I got to read some of it. I'm going to pick it up over here. Let's see here. I'm going to pick it up in verse 20 on chapter 18. Okay? 1 Kings 18, chapter 20. It says, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long hath you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. See, that just tickles me to death when I read that right there. See, then said Elijah unto the people, said to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And call you on the name of your gods. Notice it says gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Oh, wow. And see, it says in verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any who answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry loud. He's saying, cry louder. For he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he sleeps and must be awake. See, and then they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till their blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifices, that there was neither voice nor any answered nor any who regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. And he did, and he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time, and he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the even sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, He is God. He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon, and killed them there. Oh, wow. He had already challenged them. It came to a showdown. Kind of like you watch an old Western. You know, comes down to that high noon thing, you know. And you got the good and you got the bad. And came down to Ahab and Elijah. It came down to 450 prophets of Baal and one prophet of God. Amen. 2 bulls, 1 altar, and 1 result. Yeah. Amen. Amen. This is where our lesson starts. It's the abundance of rain. It starts in 41. It said, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked and he said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass in the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Let me tell you, the people had gathered, the altar prepared, the sacrifice laid out, and the trench was dug. Water was applied and the fire fell down and consumed it all, but the day was far from over. See, most evangelists, they'll stop right there, being satisfied with what took place. And it was wonderful what took place, but it didn't stop there. You see, they would have gathered the ashes if they would, and they would have put it in vials, and they would have sold it at the local store, or they might have had T-shirts made up, said, I survived Mount Carmel. See, but Elijah was after the blessings of God. See, no rain. If you went back to the first of that chapter, no rain for 3.5 years was what was going on there. It had left a nation that was once a great region, vegetation and devastation all around. See, it had been dry and barren waste land without the blessings of God for some time. And when we walk in the sin of this world and we become devastated, dry and barren and desolate, void of life inside, it takes Christ to bring that out. See, what we need is a spiritual pour down in our lives and a presence of God's blessing on our lives. And Elijah saw that the nation of Israel was in need of that abundance of life-giving rain. So I ask you tonight, what is it that brought this downpours on this cursed land? See, it was the need to repent. That's what brought it down. I'm telling you, we're in a state right now in the United States. We're in this place right now that if there isn't repentance, I fear all is lost.
Amen.
You see, except for those that are saved by grace.
Amen.
You see. Before blessings can flow our way, we must move into a position to receive God's blessings. See, what is cursed cannot be blessed at the same time. Repentance, it only works when it's applied. You know, there was a soap manufacturer, and he and a pastor were walking together down a large city street, and the soap manufacturer casually said, he said, "The gospel you preach hasn't done much good, has it?" He said, "Just look around." He said, "There's still a lot of wickedness in this world, and a lot of wicked people too." And the pastor made no reply until he passed a dirty little child in a mud making mud pies and in the gutter. And seizing that opportunity, the pastor said, "I see that soap hasn't done much good in this world either, for there is much dirt and many dirty people." So the soap man said, "Oh well, soap only works when it's applied." The pastor said, "Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly. It does no good if you leave it between the covers. If you don't open it up and you don't take thereof, it'll do you absolutely no good." Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near."
Amen.
See, but you see, it also took a cleansing. Not just repentance, but it took a cleansing. See, you must turn from those things of the world. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, the Lord says, "Get away from unbelievers." It says, "Separate yourself from them. Have nothing to do with anything unclean. Then I will welcome you." See, it's not enough to pray a prayer without a change of heart. It's not enough to say, "I'm sorry." You can't continue to hold on to it. I want Christ in my life, but, you know, I don't want to go to hell, but, you know, I know I'm doing wrong, but. See, let me tell you, it didn't work for Samson. It didn't work for David, and it's not going to work for us. You've got to repent. You've got to come clean. And you've got to start a new life in Christ.
Amen.
Man and a pastor was walking through a garden, and the pastor walks over to a water fountain. He reaches down and picks up a rock. It's been in the water for the longest. He cracks it open and he shows the inside. He said, "Look, it's perfectly dry." Same thing has happened to the men in America for centuries. They've been surrounded by Christianity, but Christ has not penetrated. It just covers the outside. There's no real change inside. Christ doesn't breathe within them. See, Elijah had to get rid of those prophets before God could move on the land. And what did that mean? It meant rain. It meant healing. See, it meant life and recovery and restoration. See, the rivers will run again. The fish will be caught again. The crops will grow again. And there'll be joy while there's been sorrow and there'll be laughter where there's been weeping. See, I came to tell you to get ready for the rain. See, the rain's on its way. I'm not talking about tomorrow's weather. I want you to hear tonight before you leave. I want you to be able to be in tune with the abundance of rain, because it's coming, my friends. That it may not mean anything to some of you, but to somebody listening to this, my voice tonight, it means everything. It's on the way. You need to tell your neighbor, the rain's on the way. See, it's on the way. It's a breakthrough. It's there's something powerful about knowing that it's on the way that puts a fire back into the belly. It puts the fight back into you. It gives you the spirit to hold on. See, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I prayed. But you prayed and you fasted and you cried and you confessed the word and every natural evidence. You put it out there. Nothing has changed. And the truth be known to many of you, it may have even gotten worse. But I came to tell you that change is in the atmosphere. And the rain's coming. Restoration is coming. Healing is coming. Peace is coming. And joy is coming back. I'm here to tell you tonight, because it's in God's Word. And what His Word says is truth. See, I hear the sound. You know, when it says you hear the sound of abundance rain, and that's what Elijah said. He said, that means that my ears picked up something, a vibration of something. He said, I can't see it, and maybe I can't touch it. I don't feel it, but it's on its way, and I know that. Have you ever been out in the weather, and you know rain is coming? Have you ever smelt it before it ever got there? Have you ever felt it before it ever really got there? Let me tell you, I want you to be excited about God. Amen. I want you to be excited about Him. So how do you know if it's coming? Because it gets louder and louder. The closer it gets, the louder it gets. See, when a train's coming your way, you feel the vibration before it arrives. And when large hail is coming, you hear it blocks before it ever gets to you. And when 120 men and women gathered in the upper room waiting for the promise of power, the Bible says that suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. The entire house. It said there was a sound, the sound of an indication. It said suddenly cloven tongues as fire appeared. And each of them said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, I hear the sound of abundance rain. See, Elijah spoke those words in a place and a time where there had not been a drop of water in 3.5 years. The sky had not turned dark one time. But I want you to know that the man had faith. You remember the servant he sent out? The servant kept coming back. You know, he went out 7 times. The servant came back. I don't know what's the matter with him. Yeah, ain't nothing happening out there. I'm getting some exercise maybe. But ain't nothing happening. See, it took faith. See, he spoke it to Ahab. Before he ever saw anything in the sky, before he had asked God to send the rain, he spoke by faith that the rain was on its way and that it was not just a few drops, that it was going to be a flood. It was a missionary, Hudson Taylor. He went to China. And he was on his voyage, and he was sailing a vessel. And as he neared the channel between the Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra, the missionary heard an urgent knock at the door in the stateroom where he was. And the captain opens the door, and he says, "Mr. Taylor," he said, "we have no wind." He said, "and we're drifting towards an island right now where the people are heathens, and I feel that they're cannibals. So what can I do? He said, I understand that you believe in God, and I want you to pray for a wind. He said, all right, Captain, I will. But you got to set the sail first. He says, well, that's ridiculous. There's not even the slightest breeze out there. Besides, the sailors will think I'm crazy. See, the captain thought that the missionary was a twinkie in a ding-dong world, you know? But finally, because Taylor's insistence, he agreed. 45 minutes later, he returned and found the missionary still on his knees. And he said, you can stop now. We got more wind than we know what to do with. See, it took an act of faith is what it took. You know, we'll get it right up to that point, and we're expecting it, and it doesn't happen in our time. And because of that, we step back. Oh, well, maybe it wasn't the right time for God. Okay. We deny ourselves sometimes by not trusting in the Lord to do what He says He will do.
Amen.
You see? Let me tell you, this was an act of faith. And Andrew brought, you remember when Andrew brought a little boy and his lunch to Jesus? You remember that? And he multiplied it. And it was an act of faith when a woman said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And it was an act of faith when Peter called out, if that's you, Lord. See, I hear the sound of abundance rain. I don't see any evidence of it right now. I don't see any sign of it, but I hear it. I hear it. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God, see? And there's a sound, and there's a word, and the sound doesn't just mean it's a noise or a racket. See, it means it's a proclamation. See, this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, faith excites God on our behalf. I want you to notice what he did next. He went to an intercession. You see, he started praying. He started praying not just for himself. I'm sure he could have drawn some water from a well somewhere and been just satisfied. But he started praying on behalf of Israel. You see, they had done slain the false prophets of Baal. They had gotten rid of that thing that was unpleasing to God. What about you? I want to ask you if there's anything in your life tonight that is unpleasing to God. Because before He can move in there, we got to take care of that problem. He fell on his face and he cried out to God for a blessing. What would have given up if nothing happened. So he prayed again. He was determined that he's going to experience rain that day. And he prayed again. You know, he could have said, well, God's going to do it in his own time. I'll quit praying. But he didn't. He prayed on. See, he could have started walking back to the town and kept faith in what God was about to do, but he prayed on. See, he didn't give up. He kept digging deeper. It said he put his head between his knees. Did you catch that in that scripture? He put his head between his knees. Now, I can't do that no more. I got a little bit too much in the middle. But I one time I could do that, you know. But he was that said that he was intently praying, you see. I want you to notice. See, this was time to pray and to keep humble before God and to let God be God. See, seven times he sent his servant to see if there's rain headed that way. And finally the answer, the servant comes back and says, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. I want you to think about that for a second. The size of a man's hand.
Not a very big cloud.
See, most would think that, is this my blessing?
Yeah. Amen.
Lord, is this the best you got? You ever caught yourself there?
Yeah.
selling God short?
Yep.
God ready to make a massive move in your life, and you sell Him short? Elijah said unto Ahab, "You better get on the way. Rain's coming." He said, "I want you to know today that God is saying that you need to get ready, because I'm about to pour out upon you an abundance of blessings. I'm about to return, collect my own, and leave the rest behind." See, somebody's faith is going to another level tonight. And somebody who has been struggling through the wilderness of just enough and barely getting by, about ready to receive an overflow. See, somebody's going to change addresses in the spirit tonight. Some of the stuff that used to hinder you and used to pull you down after this service, it should be going a little bit better for you, because you won't be living in that same neighborhood anymore. I hear the sound of abundance rain. See, what is your rain in your life? See, the rain of God, power visiting your life in whatever area, or the areas in drought or a lack of broken or empty. See, the rain is God taking every plan, every plot, every scheme, and every weapon that the devil's launched against you and turning it around for the good. See, the simplest definition of all is just answered prayer. See, the rain was on the way, but there was work to be done. Ahab went to play, and Elijah went to pray. For every miracle, for every breakthrough, every prodigal who comes home, every son or daughter who is delivered from drugs and perversion, somebody has to pray. How are you helping those around you? Are you putting it on a list and saying, I'll pray for them? And then you fold that list up and you don't see it again until next time you happen to stumble across it. Or are you really committed to write that down and to really pull it out and pray diligently for that person? Let me tell you, that tells the amount of love that you have for them. Oh, it's easy to just say, oh, I'll pray for them. You know what? Some people say, when they're asked to do something, say, oh, I'll pray about it. You know what that means in Christian talk? It means no. That's what it means. Let's be honest. That's exactly what it means. No. Let me pray about it. See, he sent his servant out to look towards the sea for an answer. Let me tell you, that sea represents the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You've got to get your eyes on the Word. His servant returns and answers, I'm looking, but I don't see any evidence of rain or answer to your prayer. But Elijah just keeps on praying, and he sends his servant back to the sea. And while the servant's running, Elijah's still praying. And you've just got to keep on praying in your situation. And when you have a word from God in your spirit, and you just have to keep on praying, you can't give up on Him. Don't give up on God ever. See, Daniel prayed for 100. He prayed for 20 days with no evidence whatsoever that God had heard him. But on that 21st day, a breakthrough came. Michael was a warning angel, broke into the battle, and Gabriel got the message through. See, God will do whatever it takes to get you if you won't quit on Him. You keep on praying. Just keep on praising. Keep on confessing. And keep on tithing. And keep on sowing. And keep on singing and dancing in the Lord. Devil don't want to see you sweat. See, delay is not denial.
Amen.
See, Abraham was delayed 25 years. But he wasn't denied. See, Joseph was delayed 15 years, but not denied. Lazarus was denied 4 days, but he wasn't denied. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and not a lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." In Numbers 23:19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it will, he will do what it, if he said he will do it, and if he spoke it, he will bring it to pass." See, every time you pray and you're putting the pressure on the spirit realm and you're filling with expectancy those clouds that are bringing your blessings. See, we don't pray just because we feel like it. We don't pray just because it's the Christian thing to do or because it sounds like a good idea. We pray because we have an objective that can only be reached if we send it to God. See, Elijah's still praying and his head between his knees and his prayer is serious business and hard work. And somebody said one time, many Christians pray with such lukewarmness. Is that a word? Lukewarmness? If not, it is tonight. And indifference and uncertainty that they wouldn't even recognize the answer to their prayers if it came. See, Elijah's servant had brought back another negative report, but Elijah said, "Keep on praying." He said, "Go back to the sea and look again. Spend some more time in the Word. Then come and tell me what you see." On the seventh time, the servant comes back with that report. "I see that little cloud, size of a man's hand." In other words, there was a little glimpse of the power of God that came to me and a word from the Word of God. See, a special glimpse of the power of God for a specific purpose or a specific time. You know, it's time for us to get a glimpse of the power of God. If you got a glimpse of the power of God, you'll make it through that storm you're going through. You know, if you got a glimpse of the power of God, you can dance in that fiery furnace. You can sleep like a baby in the lion's den. You can beat the famine with a meal and a little bit of oil. If you got a glimpse of the power of God, you can walk on water. All you need is a little glimpse of the power of God. See, it's so small. It's like a man's hand. It didn't even look that much. See, there's something about faith that lets you see the greatness of little things. See, faith can see a weapon of mass destruction in the jawbone of an ass. You see. A meal for a multitude in a sack lunch. An oil business in a room full of empty jars, and a king in a simple, smelly shepherd boy. See, the servant saw a little cloud, but Elijah saw a river filling and ground-soaking, drought-busting rainstorm. See, I don't care how big the problem may seem to you, or how long it's existed, the promise of God come in concentrated form. You know, I think about we get drinks sometimes and you have to cut them. You know, it's a concentrate, so you have to cut it down a little bit. It'd be too strong. I think of God that way with His power. And you know, if He were to just throw it out there on us, it'd just overwhelm us, you know. So He gives it out into perfect portions, just what's needed. What does He say about your cup? Talks about it overflowing, doesn't it? Just enough and a little bit more. You know, I had a grandmother. We called her Nanny. She used to say after, when we got ready to leave the supper table, she'd say, "Now eat all you can eat and then take one more bite." You know, if you do that, you'll never leave the table. You'd be like Carrie and I. You'd be there all the time, just grazing. That's the way it ought to be with us and God's Word. You see? We ought to be reading God's Word. And when we get full of it, we ought to just take one more bite of it. Just one more bite. Oh, let me tell you. Servant saw a little cloud. See, the promise from God is concentrated. Jesus said, all it takes is faith, the size of a mustard seed, and you can command mountains to jump into the sea, and they'll do it. See, I feel a mountain shaking. I feel a mountain loosening their hold. When I was writing this thing, I got to thinking about my own spiritual walk, you know, and there's a few things that trips me up every now and then. I can see those things, the toils and snares that Satan set out there to try to trip me up. I can see those things that he thought he had me snared. He thought he had me held down and bound. But you know what? Greater is he.
Amen.
Is in me. Tell you what. Tell you what. He don't know who he's messing with. See, I hear the sound of abundance rain, and you need to hear it as well. See, tonight the drought is breaking, and the rain is on its way. Somebody listen to me right now. The drought is may be your finances, but it's going to break through. If you trust in the Lord and you follow the Lord, He'll take care of that. He'll take care of you. He will not. I've said this before. He did not set you up for failure. He set you up for success. You know, I feel sometimes that our spirit gets beat down a little bit. You know, we hear things like this terrible shooting that took place or any other things in this world that are happening right now to us. And it seems like we see devastation all around. And it's so easy for us to question, why did this happen? And we allow it to beat us down and to tear us down. God's saying, have faith in me. I've got a plan. You don't understand it. It's far above what you can understand, but I've got a plan. Will you trust me? Will you just trust me enough to work my plan? And then he's asking another thing. He says, will you be part of it? Will you be part of it? Will you join in with me and us do this thing together? Or are you going to constantly be my opposition? I was opposition to Christ for many, many, many years. Many years. I was opposition. I was on the wrong team. It took a lot of soul searching. It took a lot of grace. But I'm here to tell you today that I have a future. And I pray you do as well. There's no future here in this earth. There's nothing here that will bring true joy, true satisfaction. Look, I've done a lot of things in my life. I've been very blessed to be able to fly airplanes and sail boats and you name it. I've kayaked, whatever. I've done a lot of things, and nothing has brought me joy like this book right here. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know? Nothing. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1 said, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. It's time. It's a time of raining. See, the anointing is here. The rain is falling. Yokes are being destroyed. burdens are being lifted and joy is being restored and peace is being restored. See, Elijah got off his knees and he told Abraham, he said, it's here. See, the rain is here. If you don't get your chariot rolling, you aren't going to make it off this mountain. See, and while Elijah was prophesying, the wind blew and the clouds turned dark and the rain came. It said Elijah heard it with his spirit. He prophesied it with his mouth and he saw it with his eyes. I tell you tonight, somebody's getting ready to see a manifestation of what is God's had in store for your spirit.
Amen.
So you've been confessing it and believing it, and a lot of people thought you were crazy. Mm-hmm. But you're getting ready to see it.
Hallelujah.
It's because the drought's over and the rain's on its way.
Yeah.
See, I wish I had some people here tonight who knew how to play in the rain. They used to sing an old chorus. You remember this? It said, there's joy in the rain, Lord. Healing in the rain, Lord. Then it said, there's dancing in the rain, Lord. And there's freedom in the rain, Lord. Mm. See, somebody needs to get excited about the Lord.
Yes.
We got to praise Him. Like a man stumbling onto an old oasis in the middle of a desert, we ought to praise Him. Just like we stumbled upon something awesome. Because let me tell you, we have. There is nothing on this earth that will bring you more pleasure than Christ. Nothing. See, I pray that God will grant us a new desire tonight when we leave here. A new desire to be not conformed to this world, but transformed. To a new creature, not just some reproduction of a cheap model, but a new creature in Him. See, before you can claim victory though over the enemy, you got to know how to tear down the strongholds. You got to use the rain God's given you. You must know how to destroy Satan and subdue the adversary. See, before you can wade out into deeper water for the Lord, you first got to belong to Him. See, life has many choices. Eternity has two. It's time to decide which choice you're going to take in eternity, because you're going to spend time there. That's a given. Just depends on where you're going to spend it. Jesus said in John 14:6, He saith unto them, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. This world will tell you that there are multiple ways to get there. You can go on YouTube and they'll show you many different things. They'll talk about it like it's a Walmart. There's many ways to it. I'm here to tell you tonight that Christ said that there is only one way, and it's by Him. See, in Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I say, before you can wade out in deeper waters, you got to belong to Him, which means, see, that's the problem, though. For some of us, it's too simple. See, we were like, wait a minute, you just asked for it? And that's it. That's all there is to it. Don't we have to do a belly bump or something, or a secret handshake, or do something else? No, it's a free gift. See, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. All of us are tainted, and because of that, we have to be cleansed of that. That being tainted, it leads to death. It leads to separation. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. But what we have to do is this. See, if we confess with our mouths, He is faithful and just forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, see, that excites me almost as much as that story does, because I may have messed up today. Chances are I did, probably several times. But you know what? I can leave it right here tonight, and I can walk out that door brand new again.
Amen.
You see? But it takes something else. You confess your sins and you repent of those sins. See, it's one thing to say, well, I did this and I'm sorry. But it's another thing to change from that and try not to do it again. You see? So we got to ask Christ to come into our hearts. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, then you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's just that simple. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I do know 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yes.
New creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Old things are passed away. He transforms us at that moment. And I'll tell you something else. There's a bonus in here for you. Did you know the moment you accept Christ that He provides you with a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift. You may not know it right off the bat. You may. He won't give you all of them, but He'll give you at least one of them. I don't know where you're at, but what we do here is we close with a prayer of salvation. We say it out loud as encourage the person beside us to say it. If you've said it 100 times before, you won't be any more saved than you were when you came in here. But if you haven't, there's two places in eternity that rest ahead of you. Where are you going to spend them? Let's pray. Dear God, I know that Jesus is your Son.
I know that Jesus is your Son.
And that He died on the cross for my sin.
He died on the cross for my sin.
I also know that He was raised from the dead.
I also know that He was raised from the dead.
I also know that I have sinned.
I'm
now asking for forgiveness.
I'm willing to turn from my
sin and receive Jesus as my Savior
and Master over me.
And help me to be the kind of Christian
that you want me to be.
And thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving.
In Jesus' name,
Amen.